Nurse their babies for 15 to 20 minutes on one side, burp them, and then offer the second side for an additional 15 to 20 minutes. Other mothers employ a 10-10-5-5 method. They alternate sides, offer each breast for 10 minutes, burping the baby between sides, and then offer each breast for an additional 5 minutes. This second method is helpful if mom has a sleepy baby, as the disruption prompts the baby to wakefulness and assures that both breasts are stimulated equally. During these early days, if baby desires to nurse longer, mom can choose to let him do so or consider the use of a pacifier. If she feels her baby has a need for non-nutritive sucking, a pacifier can nicely meet this need without compromising the routine or making mom feel like she is becoming a pacifier. Understanding growth spurts. What if your baby is hungry sooner than 2.5 hours? Even when mom has been working to make sure her baby is receiving full feedings, additional feeding times are sometimes necessary. This usually occurs during a growth spurt. These spurts are biological responses that affect all babies, regardless of how they are fed, by breast or with formula. Actually, the term growth spurt is a bit vague and nondescriptive, since growth, as it is understood from a length and weight perspective, is not the most visible outcome of a growth spurt. A growth spurt occurs when a baby requires additional calories for a specific growth need, most likely to restore depleted energy to the body cells that store energy. The extra calories received during this increased feeding time provide the reserves that support the process of visible growth that follows a growth spurt. Like a car battery that wears down over time and needs a recharge to function at full capacity, it helps to think of growth spurts as the signal that a recharge is necessary. Growth spurts require the baby to be fed as often as hunger signs are present. For a first-time mom, the first growth spurt can be incredibly worrisome if she is not expecting it, as well as incredibly fatiguing, since it can last any time from 1 to 4 days. Fortunately, at the end of the growth spurt, everything returns to normal, including the feed-wake-sleep patterns previously established. Are growth spurts predictable? There is some disagreement on this. While some clinicians believe growth spurts happen 10 days after birth, followed by 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months, and 6 months, others say the timing varies from baby to baby. Either way, they tend to fall into a range of time close to what is listed above. Set your cell phone calendar for those weeks with the simple note, growth spurt likely. For a new mom, the challenge is recognizing the onset of that first growth spurt. Other than a preset alarm notice, there is usually no warning before it happens. Just as the feed-wake-sleep routine is finally falling into place, one day she is hit by a growth spurt snowball. Mom will notice an all-of-a-sudden increase in hunger signs, along with excessive fussiness and waking about 40 to 50 minutes early from his nap with a ravenous appetite. Mom feeds, puts baby back down for a nap, and the whole thing repeats itself in 2 hours or less. How will a mom know when the growth spurt is over? Normal feeding cycles will resume, and the next day, baby will nap longer than normal. That is because growth spurts are fatiguing for babies as much as they are for mothers. Breast milk or formula? When it comes to nutritional value, babies thrive on both formula and breast milk, but when it comes to the broader benefits, breast milk is the perfect food. While the nutritional and health benefits differ between breast milk and formula in the first 12 weeks of a baby's life, the disparity between the two decreases substantially by 6 months of age. Between 6 and 12 months, the gap continues to narrow. That is partly because other food sources have now been introduced in the baby's diet. Breastfeeding beyond a year in our society is done more out of mom's preference than for a nutritional need. Nonetheless, the American Academy of Pediatrics encourages mothers to breastfeed at least a year, which is a common practice for many PDF moms. In times past, some tried to make the case that breastfeeding has a higher nurturing value and suggested bottle feeding was an indication that a mother was rejecting her biological role as a woman. It was asserted that her children would suffer emotional deficiencies as a result. Studies over the last 60 years that attempted to correlate the method of infant feeding with later emotional development failed to support any of these claims. A mother's overall attitude toward her baby far outweighs anything else, including the manner of feeding. While the moms who read this book are encouraged to breastfeed, we realize that not all moms can or will choose to do so. One's decision to breast or bottle feed is not a negative or positive judgment on one's motherhood, nor will it have any emotional impact on one's baby. Bottle feeding. While formula is a 20th century discovery, bottle feeding has been in existence for thousands of years. Our ancestors made bottles out of wood, porcelain, pewter, glass, copper, leather, and cow horns. Historically, unprocessed animal's milk was the principal nourishment used with bottle feeding. Since it was easily contaminated, infant mortality was very high. During the first half of the 20th century, when bottle feeding was in vogue, selections were limited, but today that is not the case. Store shelves are filled with options, from standard glass and plastic bottles to those with disposable bags, handles, and animal shapes. All come in a wide range of colors and prints, though this is more for the mother's amusement than the baby's. The variety of nipples is dizzying, ranging from a nipple that is most like mom's, so the baby feels he is nursing, an orthodontic nipple, a juice nipple, and even one for cereal, which we do not recommend. With so many choices, only a brave soul would go to the store without adequate rest or a phone app that can explain the differences. Actually, the only important thing to keep in mind when choosing a nipple is the right-sized hole. A nipple hole that is too large forces baby to drink too fast, which often leads to excessive spitting up and projectile vomiting. A hole that is too small creates a hungry and discontented baby. To test the nipple, turn the bottle upside down. There should be a slow drip of formula. If the formula flows freely, the hole is too big. One advantage to bottle feeding is that it allows others to participate. Feeding the baby can be just as special for dad as it is for mom. Fathers should not be denied this opportunity to nurture their babies. The same holds true for age-appropriate siblings and grandparents. It is a family affair, and everyone benefits. Formula. For some mothers, choosing formula may be the best and sometimes only milk option available. Such a decision should not be viewed as a negative commentary on her motherhood or her parenting. Just as breastfeeding does not make a good mother, bottle feeding does not make a bad one. Moving beyond some other myths, offering formula will not reduce your baby's IQ any more than offering breast milk can raise it. While breast milk has many health advantages, formula will not doom a child to frequent infections, obesity, or low self-esteem. The one thing a mom and dad must do when offering a bottle is to take the time to sit and hold their baby. This combines the cuddling that baby needs with the well-deserved rest mom and sometimes dad need. What is formula? Infant formula is made to approximate the nutritive qualities of breast milk. The major types include milk-based formulas made from cow's milk, soy-based formulas for babies who are lactose, milk sugar intolerant, hypoallergenic formulas for babies who are allergic to both soy and cow's milk formulas. Be aware that cow's milk and baby formula are not the same. Cow's milk is not suitable for children under a year of age. The best source of information about which formula is best for your baby is your pediatrician or family practitioner. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, oversees the manufacturing of infant formulas, ensuring the end product complies with nutritional requirements. They are also responsible for recalls that occasionally happen. Baby formula is sold in three different forms. Powder, the least expensive form, mixed with water. Liquid concentrate, mixed with an equal amount of water, easier to work with than powder. Ready to feed, expensive but does not require mixing. How much formula should your baby consume? The AAP provides a handy guide that should be followed. It states babies should receive 2.5 ounces of formula for each pound of body weight. For example, if your baby weighs 13 pounds, then he should be receiving approximately 32 ounces of formula in a 24-hour period. Once a baby is sleeping through the night, at least 8 hours, then that would work out to 6 to 8 ounces every 3 to 4 hours during the day, but should not exceed the daily portion of 32 ounces, unless otherwise directed by your baby's pediatrician. Bottle feeding positions to avoid. Avoid bottle feeding a baby while he is lying completely flat. This also applies to moms tempted to nurse in a lying down position. Taking liquids while lying down may allow fluid to enter the middle ear, leading to ear infections. Putting a baby to bed with a bottle is also a no-no, not only because of ear infections, but also to prevent tooth decay. When a baby falls asleep with a bottle in his mouth, the sugar in the formula coats the teeth, resulting in tooth decay even on developing baby teeth. Burping your baby. Feeding and burping a baby are inseparably linked because babies will always swallow some air as they feed, and if the air is not discharged, it will lead to discomfort. Inside baby's tummy, the swallowed air exists in the form of tiny bubbles that cannot escape or be released without help. Patting a baby's back in conjunction with applying slight pressure to his tummy forces the smaller bubbles to collect, forming one larger bubble that the baby is able to burp up. While all babies generally swallow some air as they feed, bottle-fed babies tend to swallow more than breastfed babies. This is because the milk flows faster through the nipple of a bottle, causing babies to gulp air. This problem can be reduced by keeping the nipple filled with milk, leaving no room for air. You may want to experiment with bottles specifically designed to minimize the intake of air during the feeding process. Also, babies, both bottle and breastfed, tend to accumulate less air when fed in an elevated position. Burping a baby is one of those acquired skills, so please stay mindful of the intensity of your patting during the burping process. You will learn the difference between a pat that is too gentle or too hard. If the pat is too gentle, it will not be sufficient to bring the trapped air up, and if the pat is too hard, it can be injurious and panic the baby. Repeated gentle patting on your baby's back will get the job done. There is no need for excessive force. For more confidence, watch other experienced mothers. Burping positions. The four common positions for burping a baby are illustrated, so parents can find the one that is most effective for their baby. For illustrations of these positions, please visit www.babywise.life/audiobook. What they all have in common is placing slight pressure on baby's tummy while patting baby's back. The process of burping may occur one, two, or three times during a feeding, depending on the baby and the efficiency of his feeding. Bottle-fed newborns will need to be burped after every 1 to 2 ounces, and breastfed babies when changing size. Position 1. Sitting lap position. Place the palm of your hand over baby's stomach. Now hook your thumb around the side of your baby, wrapping the rest of your fingers around the chest area. Note how the baby is securely resting upright on mom's lap with one of her hands supporting and holding his chest. Lean your baby slightly and begin patting baby's back. Position number 2. Tummy over lap position. In a sitting position, place your baby's legs between your legs and drape the baby over your thigh. While supporting the baby's head in your hands, bring your knees together for further support and pat baby's back firmly. Position number 3. The shoulder position. With baby's chest resting on a cloth diaper high on mom's shoulder and his tummy resting on the front of her shoulder, begin patting baby's back firmly. Position number 4. The cradle position. Mom cradles the baby in her arm with his bottom in her hands and his head resting at mom's elbow. One of the baby's arms and one leg are to be wrapped around her arm, making sure the baby is facing away from her. This position allows her other hand to be free to pat the baby's back. If a baby does not burp after a few minutes, mom should consider changing the baby's burping position and try again before she continues the feeding. Without a doubt, mom will want to keep her clothing clean, so keeping a cloth diaper handy when burping will have its rewards. Spitting up and projectile vomiting. Spitting up is a common occurrence with infants. It usually occurs during the burping process when the bubble is released and some of the ingested milk also comes up with the burp. It can also happen because of unnecessary motion, such as when grandpa is bouncing baby on his knee or big sister is trying to soothe baby by excessive swaying in a rocking motion. When spitting up occurs because of motion, it usually signals that a baby has eaten more food than the stomach can process at one time. As the stomach pressure builds, spitting up is the mechanism to release the excess. There is no reason to be alarmed over this, but mom should monitor how often this is happening and, if she needs to, reduce the number of ounces her baby is receiving. A more alarming form of spitting up is called projectile vomiting, which is much greater in volume and very forceful, traveling 4 to 6 feet across a room. Projectile vomiting is not a particular diagnosis or condition, but a comparative term to the much less intense dribbling type of spitting up. Although any baby can have a bout or two of projectile vomiting, routine episodes indicate a more serious problem. Projectile vomiting can be a sign of gastroesophageal reflux. Listen for Chapter 8. It can also indicate an intestinal infection. The baby who routinely vomits his meals will not receive enough calories for adequate growth and can quickly become dehydrated. Establishing a correct diagnosis and treatment is very important. Burping challenges. During the first week of life, when a baby tends to be more sleepy, it is sometimes difficult to get a baby to burp. If after trying for 5 minutes, the baby is more interested in sleeping than burping, place her in the infant seat rather than her crib. Gravity is a wonderful thing, helping to keep the milk down and eventually causing the air bubbles to dissipate. After each feeding, with the exceptions of the late evening feeding and middle of the night feeding, placing the newborn in an infant seat for 10 to 15 minutes is helpful in preventing the milk from refluxing up into the esophagus. Elevating the head of your newborn's crib by an inch or two can also be helpful, especially if your little one has a mild case of reflux. Simply place a book or board under each leg at the head of the crib. Hiccups. Even with the best burping techniques, there will be times when an air bubble becomes trapped in a baby's tummy or intestines, resulting in one of two outcomes: hiccups or passing gas. Unfortunately, with the latter sensation, most babies react by tightening their bottoms and resisting the normal expulsion of passing gas, making themselves very uncomfortable. To alleviate your baby's discomfort, place him in a knee-chest position or place his back next to your chest, then pull his knees up to his chest. Every baby goes through a bout or two of hiccups, and some experience them every day, even while in the womb. After birth, hiccups in babies are quite normal and more troublesome to the parents than the baby. Hiccups can range from 5 to 30 minutes in length, and while no scientific certainty can be attributed to the cause, most evidence points to feeding. If you notice your newborn is hiccuping after each feeding, try offering a little less formula or breast milk while feeding slightly more often and see if that makes a difference. Another idea is to treat the hiccups like a burp. Using one of the upright burping positions, gently pat your baby on his back. The release of some remaining trapped air could relieve the problem. From one end to the other. With new parents, it is amazing how much attention must be given to what is coming back up, burping, and what is coming out, pooping. Be aware that the bowel movements of a breastfed baby will not match those of a formula-fed baby. It is common for breastfed babies in the early days to have a bowel movement after each feeding, or at least several times a day. Frequent stools are a signal that everything is working efficiently, and mom's milk supply is adequate. The stools are usually yellow, with the consistency of small curd cottage cheese. Newborn stools in the first week transition from a browny batter stool to a sweet odor, mustard yellow color, runny and seedy. The yellow stool is a healthy sign of a totally breastfed baby. After the first week, 2 to 5 or more yellow stools, along with 7 to 9 wet diapers daily, are signs that your baby is receiving adequate milk for healthy growth. A bottle-fed baby will pass firmer, light brown to golden or clay-colored stools that have a stronger odor than breast milk stools. Around 1 month of age, the stooling pattern for a breastfed baby begins to decrease from several a day to 1 to 2 a day. By 2 months of age, it is not uncommon for an exclusively breastfed baby to go several days without a bowel movement. From our archives of letters, one mom noted, "After my son was first born, I found that he would initially have a bowel movement after each feeding. This pattern gradually changed to having bowel movement several times a day, then once every couple of days. Between 3 and 4 months of age, he developed a new normal of one bowel movement every 5 days. In contrast, what was normal for our son was not the same normal for his siblings. Each child developed his own pattern unique to his own body." A formula-fed baby tends to have 3 to 5 bowel movements a day for the first couple of weeks, decreasing around 1 to 2 months of age to once a day or every 2 to 3 days. The color of the bowel movements can be yellow, brown, or tan, and they are often described as having the consistency of peanut butter. Whether breast or formula feeding, you will learn what is normal for your baby. The key points are to make sure your baby is passing stools on a regular basis and to note the color and consistency. For both methods of feeding, the baby's bowel movements should be soft and consistent. You will find more helpful resources and practical advice relating to feeding and baby care at www.babywise.life. Chapter 5. Managing Your Baby's Day. We previously defined parent-directed feeding as a 24-hour infant management strategy designed to help parents connect with the needs of their baby and help baby connect with everyone in the family. The two relevant thoughts contained within this definition include 24-hour and management. The first represents a baby's day, and the second speaks to mom and dad's involvement in their baby's day. They are to be the managers. But what exactly are parents supposed to manage? The short answer is the continually evolving, changing, and growing needs of their baby. Children come into this world with basic needs for nutrition, sleep, cognitive growth, love, and security. As a baby grows, these needs do not change, but how these needs are met will change. Therein lies the challenge. How do you establish a baby's routine that is predictable, yet flexible enough to meet a baby's growing and changing feed, wake, sleep needs? Part of the answer comes from understanding the meaning of flexibility. The root word flexible means the ability to bend or be pliable. To think of a flexible item, think of something with a particular shape that can bend or be pulled and then return to its original shape. Returning to its original shape is perhaps the most critical element of flexibility. During the crucial early weeks of stabilization, it is important that you shape and form your baby's routine. Too much flexibility will not allow this to happen. That is why a baby's routine must first be established before flexibility is introduced into baby's day. Activities of your baby's routine. The three activities of a baby's routine are feeding time, wake time, and nap time. With age-appropriate modifications, these same three activities continue up through a baby's first birthday. The challenge for parents is knowing when the changes are coming and how they should respond. To approach our topic systematically, we will, first, walk through a year's worth of feed, wake, sleep changes, discussing when they come and how to adjust your baby's routine. Second, review specific guidelines associated with the feed, wake, sleep activities for the first 12 weeks. Third, introduce some general principles governing routines. We begin our discussion with the introduction of the merge principle. Understanding the merge principle. Merge is a very appropriate word in the context of early parenting because the definition describes exactly what should happen throughout baby's first year. Parental management is all about merging the changing needs of one growth stage with the next. This concept is best explained by an illustration. In the next section, take note of the sample newborn schedule. There are 9 feed-wake-sleep cycles distributed evenly over a 24-hour period. Each cycle, from the beginning of one feeding to the beginning of the next, is approximately 2.5 hours in length, which is consistent with the basic nutrition and sleep needs of a newborn. While 9 feed-wake-sleep cycles a day sounds fatiguing, and it is, they are also necessary, but only temporary. The sample times listed on the various schedules found within this chapter are for illustration purposes only. For example, we are using 7 a.m. as the first morning feed, but realize your baby may start at 6 a.m. or 8 a.m. or any time in between. Personalize the times to fit your baby's needs. Sample schedule, weeks 1 to 2, activities. And for an example of this schedule, please visit www.babywise.life/audiobook. 1. Early morning, 7 a.m. 1. Feeding, diaper change, and hygiene care. 2. Wake time, minimal. 3. Down for a nap. Now continue with the schedule every 2.5 hours until late evening, then pick up with the late evening routine. Late evening, 11 p.m. 1. Feeding, diaper change, down for sleep. Allow baby to wake up naturally, but do not let him sleep longer than 4 hours continuously at night for the first 4 weeks. Feeding number 8, middle of the night, 1:30 a.m. 1 activity, feeding, diaper change, and right back to the crib, usually between 1 and 2:30 a.m. And the final feeding, number 9, pre-morning, 4 a.m. 1 activity, feeding, diaper change, and right back to the crib, usually between 3:30 and 5 a.m. Now observe the dramatic differences in the feed, wake, sleep activities of a 10 to 12 month old. Sample schedule, weeks 48 to 52. Feeding number 1, morning, 7:30 a.m. Activities, 1, feeding, breakfast. 2, wake time activities. 3, down for a nap. Feeding number 2, midday, 11:30 a.m. Same activities, 1, feeding, lunch. 2, wake time activities. 3, down for a nap. Feeding number 3, late afternoon, 3:30 to 4 p.m. Activities, 1, snack after nap. 2, wake time activity. 3, dinner time with family. 4, early evening wake time. And the final feeding, number 4, bedtime, 8 p.m. 1 activity, down for the night. For anyone comparing the two sample schedules, the differences should be obvious. Most notably, the 9 feed-wake-sleep cycles for a newborn found in the first schedule were reduced by baby's first birthday to 3 major feed-wake-sleep cycles, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What happened to the other 6 cycles? One by one, they merged as the baby developed. The 9 cycles transitioned to 8, 8 eventually became 7, 7 cycles became 6, and so on, until baby's routine was comprised of just breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The 3 most urgent questions BabyWise moms and dads are eager to have answered include, 1, what changes can parents expect? 2, when can parents expect them, on average? And 3, what adjustments will parents have to make? Every baby is different when it comes to the timing of these merge transitions. We know the average times when cycles begin to merge, but we cannot pinpoint the exact times when they will take place with your baby, although the early weeks and months are more predictable than the later months. Of equal importance is the number of merges. While 9 cycles is the average number for most PDF newborns, some mothers might feel more comfortable starting with 10 feed, wake, sleep cycles. There are some babies who, right after birth, adapt to 8 cycles. Regardless of what works best for an individual family, the principle of merging is still applicable. Fortunately, there are some general guidelines that can help any parent navigate the various feed, wake, sleep merges. Guiding principles to merging feed, wake, sleep cycles. 1. Understanding the principle of capacity and ability. A mother cannot arbitrarily decide to drop a feeding or adjust a nap time unless the baby has the physical capacity and ability to make the adjustment. For example, a 2-week-old baby has neither the capacity to go 8 hours without food nor the ability to sleep through the night. Thus, at this point in time, a mother should not be thinking about dropping the night feeding. 2. Understanding the principle of time variation. While the length of each feed-wake-sleep cycle during the early weeks of life remains fairly consistent, eventually each cycle will take on its own unique features. For example, for a baby at 4 months of age, one feed-wake-sleep cycle might be as short as 2.5 hours, while another might stretch to 3.5 hours. At 6 months, everything changes again. The range variation depends on your baby's age, unique needs, and the time of day. 3. Understanding the first-last feeding principle. No matter what merge is taking place, when adjusting a baby's routine, the first feeding of the day is always strategic. Without a consistent time set for the first morning feeding, a baby may feed every 3 hours, but each day's routine will be different. That is not good for baby or mom. While there can be some flexibility to this first feeding time, try to keep it within a 20-minute window. Remember, flexibility comes after a routine is established. Mom will come to appreciate the consistency of time because she can plan her day around her baby's feeding and nap time needs. After your baby is sleeping through the night 8 hours, the first and last feeding of the day become the 2 key strategic feedings. It does not matter if your baby is on a 3, 4, or 4.5 hour routine. All other feed-wake-sleep cycles will fall within those 2 fixed feeding times, and thus they need to remain fairly consistent. 4. Understanding the principle of individuality among children. All babies will experience the same merges, but they do not experience them at the same time. For example, Corey began sleeping 8 hours through the night at 6 weeks of age. Across town, his cousin, Anna, began sleeping 8 hours through the night at 10 weeks. That is a 4-week difference. However, by 12 weeks, Anna was sleeping 12 hours a night, whereas Corey never slept more than 10 hours a night his entire first year. These 2 babies experienced the same 2 merges, dropping the middle of the night and late evening feedings, but at different times and according to their individual sleep needs. 5. Understanding the principle of 2 steps forward and 1 step back. While some feed-wake-sleep merges happen suddenly and take only a day to become a new pattern, most merges take 4 to 6 days before a new normal is established. For example, during week 6, your baby begins sleeping between 5 to 6 hours a night. By week 7, he is up to 7 hours, then for a few nights falls back to 5 hours. Eventually, he stretches his nighttime sleep to 8 consistent hours and then 10 or more. 2 steps forward and 1 step back is common during the various merges. 6. The principles work equally well for both bottle and breastfed babies. From principle to practice. What are the developmental triggers signaling it is time to merge 2 cycles into 1? For the PDF baby, most triggers are predictable and fall into a chronological range of time. Since there are 7 major transitional merges over the course of the first year, there are 7 major triggers parents should look for. Merge 1, between weeks 3 and 6. Most babies start out with 2 feedings during the middle of the night. For example, let's say 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Sometime between weeks 3 and 6, most between weeks 3 and 4, PDF babies begin to stretch their middle-of-the-night sleep from 3 hours to 3.5 to 4 hours. Consequently, they begin to merge the 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. feedings into a single 3 a.m. middle-of-the-night feed. This merge reduces 9 feed-wake sleep cycles in a 24-hour period to 8 cycles. At this point in time, most PDF babies sleep from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. They nurse or take a bottle and then sleep until 6:30 to 7 a.m. Sleeping four-hour stretches at night becomes baby's new normal. Congratulations, only six more merges to go. Please note, this merge will be delayed in premature babies, proportionate to the number of weeks gestation. Adjustment to baby's routine after this merge. There are no major adjustments needed to the feed-wake-sleep routine during the day. Mom will notice wake times are beginning to lengthen, but overall there is no significant change to the feed-wake-sleep cycles. Most babies continue with a 2.5 to 3 hour routine. Here's a sample schedule after merge 1, weeks 3 to 6. Feeding number 1, early morning, 7 a.m. Activities: 1, feeding, diaper change and hygiene care. 2, wake time, minimal. 3, down for a nap. This pattern then repeats every 2.5 hours for feedings 2 through 6. For feeding number 7, the late evening feeding, there's only one activity: feeding and diaper change, baby back to bed, allowing him to wake up naturally, but do not let him sleep longer than 4 hours continuously at night for the first 4 weeks. And the final feeding. Feeding number 8, middle of the night. One activity: feeding and diaper change, back to crib, usually between 1 and 3 a.m. Merge 2, between weeks 7 and 10. Between weeks 7 and 10, most baby-wise babies drop their middle-of-the-night feeding and begin sleeping 8 hours at night. 8 cycles are now reduced to 7. Your baby, however, will not be reducing his daily caloric intake, just rearranging when he takes those calories. He will consume more milk during his daytime feedings, especially at the first morning feeding. If you're wondering how many hours of nighttime sleep your baby is capable of handling before he needs to be fed again, here is the rule of thumb. By 5 weeks of age, most babies can extend their nighttime sleep by 1 hour for each week. The average healthy 5-week-old can handle a 5-hour stretch at night. A 7-week-old can handle a 7-hour stretch at night. Adjustment to baby's routine after merge 2. Once baby merges the middle of the night feeding, mom will need to make some adjustments to the daytime routine. Before baby was sleeping through the night, mom fed every 3 hours, which fit perfectly in a 24-hour routine. However, now that baby is sleeping through the night, it appears that the math does not work quite as well with the 7 feedings. Here are the new figures to work through. 24 hours minus 8 hours of sleep leaves 16 hours to work in 7 feedings during the day. If feedings are divided equally, it would put them at every 2.5 hours, so it appears you are moving backward. What mom wants to do that? However, there are times when mom must feed less than 2.5 hours. Let's digress for a moment and consider these examples. Due to busy schedules, many nursing mothers experience a lower milk supply, quantitatively and qualitatively, during the late afternoon feeding, 4 to 6 p.m. As a result, she may need to offer the early evening feeding within 2 hours of the previous feeding. Growth spurts will also necessitate sooner than normal feedings. And when the late evening feeding falls between 8:30 p.m. and midnight, some moms feed their babies at 8:30 p.m. and then again at 10:30 p.m. The decision to feed within 2 hours is a practical one. It allows mom to go to bed earlier, but does not disturb her baby's nighttime sleep. Now, let's get back to the time challenges associated with merge 2. Mom has 16 hours to work with, and she has 7 feedings to get in. Here is what we suggest. First, decide the time for the first morning feeding. Do you keep the original morning feeding time to start the day, or do you establish a new one? No problem either way, but a decision has to be made. If you start the morning feeding later than what was normal, you could be pushing the late evening feeding to midnight. Do you really want to do that? Second, regardless of what you decide, schedule 7 feedings, from the first morning feeding to the late evening feeding. Third, remember the first-last principle noted previously. When reworking baby's routine, mom must fit the other 5 feed-wake-sleep cycles between the first morning feeding and the late evening feeding. However, those 5 cycles do not all have to be of equal length, and probably will not be. Some will be longer and some shorter. Every mom must determine what works best for her baby and herself. Here is a sample schedule after merge 2 takes place. Week 7 to 10. Feeding number 1, early morning feeding, 6:30 to 7 a.m. Activities: 1, feeding, diaper change and hygiene care. 2, wake time. 3, down for a nap. Feeding number 2, mid-morning feeding, 9:30 a.m. Activities remain the same. Feeding number 3, noontime, 12:30 p.m. Activities remain the same. Feeding number 4, mid-afternoon feeding, 3:30 p.m. Activities remain the same. Feeding number 5, late afternoon feeding, 5:30 to 6 p.m. Activities remain the same. Feeding number 6, early evening feeding, 8 to 8:30 p.m. Activities include 1, feeding, diaper change, and hygiene care, and 2, down for a nap. And the last feeding, feeding number 7, late evening feeding, 10:30 to 11 p.m. 1 activity, feeding and diaper change, down for the night. Merge 3, between weeks 10 and 15. This is when most baby-wise babies are capable of dropping their late evening feeding and begin sleeping 10 to 12 hours at night. The spread 10 to 12 hours reflects a baby's unique sleep needs. When that happens, 7 cycles are reduced to 6. The morning feeding will remain the same unless mom wishes to change it for her convenience or for the overall benefit of the family. The last feeding of the night will be fairly predictable because it falls 10 to 12 hours before the morning feeding. The breastfeeding mom, however, must stay mindful of her milk production. Allowing a baby to sleep longer than 10 hours at night may not provide enough stimulation in a 24-hour period to maintain an adequate supply. While this may not hold true for all mothers, it will have an impact on some, especially those in their mid-30s or older. Therefore, if you are breastfeeding, we recommend that you maintain the feeding that comes around 10 or 11 p.m. Some moms will continue this feeding for the next 4 to 5 months. Adjustment to baby's routine after this merge 3. Assuming baby is sleeping 11 hours at night, with the first feeding of the day at 7 a.m. and the last feeding near 8 p.m., mom must schedule an additional 4 feedings during the day. Baby's wake times are significantly longer, although the length of naps may not increase from the last phase since baby is receiving a substantial amount of sleep at night. This new phase continues until baby starts solid foods, sometime between 4.5 and 6 months of age. Sample schedule after merge 3, weeks 10 to 15. First feeding, early morning, 6:30 to 7 a.m. Activities, 1, feeding, 2, wake time, 3, down for a nap. Second feeding, mid-morning, 9:30. Activities remain the same. Third feeding, noontime, 12:30 p.m. Activities remain the same. Fourth feeding, mid-afternoon, 3:30 p.m. Activities remain the same. Fifth feeding, late afternoon, 5:30 to 6 p.m. Activities remain the same. Sixth and final feeding, evening, 8:30 to 9 p.m. 1 activity, feeding and down for the night. Merge 4, between weeks 16 and 24. This is when many baby-wise babies begin to extend their morning wake time by merging the early morning feeding and the mid-morning feeding. This merge reduces 6 feed-wake sleep cycles to 5. As a result, there will be only 1 feed-wake sleep cycle between breakfast and lunch, although lunchtime is usually moved up at least a half hour. This is also close to the time when solid foods might become necessary and can potentially impact the timing of activities within the feed-wake-sleep cycles. A full explanation of how the introduction of solid foods can impact the feed-wake-sleep cycles and nighttime sleep is in BabyWise 2. Sample schedule after merge 4, weeks 16 to 24. First feeding, morning, 7 a.m. Activities, 1, feeding, 2, wake time, 3, down for a nap. Feeding number 2, late morning. Activities remain the same. Feeding number 3, early afternoon. Activities remain the same. Feeding number 4, late afternoon. Activities include feeding, diaper change, and hygiene care, and wake time. Take note how the late afternoon wake time activity extends into the early evening, concluding with the bedtime feeding. While there is no full nap time between the two feedings in this feed-wake-sleep cycle, a baby may, on occasion, doze for 30 to 40 minutes, depending on when the late afternoon cycle began. This is referred to as a catnap. And the final feeding, early evening, 8 to 8:30 p.m. Activities include early evening wake time and liquid feeding, down for the night. A possible 10:30 or 11 p.m. dream feed for the breastfeeding mom. Note about dream feeds. Mothers will commonly ask if there is a difference between the late evening feed and the dream feed, since they both fall around the same time at night. Yes, there is a difference. The late evening feeding provides the necessary nutrition baby needs and is part of a baby's routine up through the first 3 months. The dream feed comes later. It is not offered because the baby needs the calories, but to help the breastfeeding mom maintain her milk supply. Not all mothers need to offer a dream feed, but the probability increases as mom's age moves into her mid-30s. Merge 5, between weeks 24 and 39. Between 5 and 7 months, a partial feed-wake-sleep transition begins to take place due to the introduction of solid foods and the emergence of the catnap, a transitional nap shorter in length but still necessary. It happens when a baby no longer needs the additional sleep of another full afternoon nap but is not quite ready to go without a short rest between his mid-afternoon nap and bedtime. Catnaps can range between 30 minutes and an hour and happen in the late afternoon, usually around dinner time. Going from a full nap to a catnap does not eliminate a feed-wake-sleep cycle, but moves baby's routine in that direction. PDF babies typically drop their third naps and move to a catnap between 24 and 39 weeks. This large span of time represents a huge variation among babies, yet it is a normal range of predictable behavior. It is just a unique fact of individuality that some babies drop the full nap and replace it with a catnap early on, while other babies continue with three naps a day well into the seventh month. Once your baby drops his third full nap, his daytime feed-wake-sleep cycles can range between 3.5 to 4.5 hours each day. That will depend on your baby's unique needs and the time of day. Sample schedule after merge 5, weeks 24 to 39, with catnap. Feeding number 1, morning, 7 a.m. Activities: 1, feeding; 2, wake time; 3, down for a nap. Feeding number 2, late morning. Same activities. Feeding number 3, mid-afternoon. Activities: 1, feeding; 2, wake time; 3, down for a catnap. This is usually around dinner time, between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. Feeding number 4, late afternoon / dinner time. Activities: 1, feeding; 2, wake time. And final feeding, feeding number 5, early evening, 8 to 8:30 p.m. Activities: 1, early evening wake time; 2, liquid feeding, down for the night. Merge 6, between weeks 28 and 40. Sometime within the weeks listed, most baby-wise babies drop their catnap, reducing the 5 feed-wake-sleep cycles to 4, requiring more daytime adjustments. The 4 feed-wake-sleep cycles include breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a liquid feeding at bedtime. Again, please take note of the large span of weeks separating merges 5 and 6. We previously mentioned the nighttime sleep trends for Corey and Anna. When it came to dropping the catnap, Corey did it at 31 weeks and moved to merge 7. Anna, however, kept her catnap until 39 weeks. That is when she moved to merge 7. Here are two babies responding to their individual sleep needs, but falling within the normal range for dropping their catnaps. Here is your sample schedule. Sample schedule after merge 6, weeks 28 to 40, without catnap. Feeding number 1, breakfast, 7 to 8 a.m. Activities: 1, feeding; 2, wake time; 3, down for a nap. Feeding number 2, midday. Same activities. Feeding number 3, late afternoon. Activities: 1, feeding. Baby will receive his cereal, vegetables, or fruits at this feeding. 2, wake time. 3, dinner with family. Baby joins family mealtime with light finger foods. This is more of a snack than a full meal. 4, early evening wake time. And final feeding, bedtime, 8 p.m. 1 activity, liquid feeding, down for the night. Merge 7, between weeks 46 and 52. This is when baby no longer receives a liquid feeding before bedtime. He might receive a cup of formula, breast milk, or juice, but a bottle of milk is not necessary. Congratulations! You have come a long way since the early days of the 9 feed-wake-sleep cycles. Your new schedule will look something like this. Sample schedule after merge 7, weeks 46 to 52. Feeding number 1, breakfast, 7 a.m. Activities: 1, feeding; 2, wake time; 3, down for a nap. Feeding number 2, midday. Same activities. Feeding number 3, late afternoon, 4 to 5 p.m. Activities 1, snack after nap, 2, wake time, 3, dinner time with family, 4, early evening wake time. And the final feeding, bedtime, 8 p.m. 1, down for the night. Specific feeding and wake time guidelines. Although we just surveyed a year's worth of transitions, this next section returns the listener to the first 12 weeks of a baby's life and offers specific reminders related to feedings, wake times, and nap times. Feeding and the first 12 weeks. 1. During the first week, stay mindful that newborns are sleepyheads and sleepy babies are prone to snacking. A little food now, a little food later. A series of snack feedings do not add up to full feedings. Baby needs to eat, and the breastfeeding mom needs the stimulation that comes with full feedings. 2. For a newborn, the duration of time awake, including feeding, burping, diaper change, cuddles, and kisses, will be approximately 30 minutes. Sleep follows the feeding, and that takes up the next 1.5 to 2 hours. When adding it all together, the entire feed-wake-sleep cycle averages 2.5 hours until the cycle repeats itself. 3. Around the third week postpartum, your baby will begin to extend his wake time after each feeding. This time will eventually extend to 30 minutes beyond feeding. On average, wake time is followed by a 1.5 to 2 hour nap. 4. At 6 weeks of age, feeding times are still approximately 30 minutes and wake times begin to increase to 30 to 50 minutes, followed by a 1.5 to 2 hour nap. By 12 weeks, wake times could be a full 60 minutes or slightly more. How to merge or drop feedings. Babies drop feedings because they are either sleeping longer or staying awake longer. As a reminder, the act of dropping a feeding is part of the larger merging process and requires that some adjustments be made in the baby's daily routine. On paper, we can make everything work out, but in reality, babies often need some help. This is where the collective wisdom of experienced mothers comes in handy. Here are a few time-tested suggestions to consider. 1. Dropping the middle of the night feeding. Between weeks 7 to 10, most PDF babies drop the middle of the night feeding on their own. One night, they simply sleep until morning. Other babies gradually stretch the duration between the late evening feeding, 10:30 p.m. to 11 p.m., and the first middle of the night feeding until it becomes the morning feeding. However, there will be occasions when mom is on board with the idea of an 8-hour sleep and desires to make the adjustment, but baby is not a willing partner. He has the capacity and the ability, but sometimes may need a little nudge because his internal sleep-wake clock is stuck. You will know this is the case if he is waking within 5 minutes of the same time each night for 3 consecutive nights. There are a few ways to handle this. 1 is to allow the baby to resettle himself without mom or dad's direct intervention. Apart from monitoring and periodically checking on the baby, possibly patting him on the back to let him know you were there, allow baby to learn to resettle himself. Normally, after 3 to 4 nights with some crying, the sleep-wake clock adjusts and baby begins sleeping through to morning. A second method is for mom to push the late evening feeding closer to 11 p.m. or midnight. Once baby is sleeping through to the first morning feeding, she can gradually back up the late evening feeding by 15 to 30 minute increments until the feeding is where she wants it to be. A third method, called the backward slide, is a last resort. This is how it works. If your baby is consistently waking at 2 a.m. each night, preempt this nightly ritual by waking and feeding him 15 to 30 minutes earlier, around 1:30 a.m. If he sleeps to his normal morning wake time, in a couple of days, try moving the time back by half an hour to 1 a.m. You can continue this backward slide until your baby's late-night feeding is at a time you are comfortable with. The way you know you are making progress is if your baby is sleeping from the end of this earlier feeding to the first feeding of the day. When you are working to establish a new sleep routine for your baby, stick with it. You and your baby will arrive at your goal, and you both will be better off when it happens. 2. Dropping the late evening feeding. This occurs around 3 months and is usually the trickiest feeding to eliminate. Having grown accustomed to sleeping all night, some parents are reluctant to drop the late evening feeding for fear that the baby will wake in the middle of the night. If your baby is showing a lack of interest or is difficult to awaken for this feeding, those are good indicators that he's ready to drop it.